Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Well, This Isn't Normal. I'm Sarah Benincasa, and I'm so happy you're here. You can support this podcast, by the way, at patreon.com/Sarah Benincasa, and you will get a weekly newsletter called Serotonin, full of tips and tricks for life and how to occupy your time in these weird times and beyond. Today, my guest is Mike Kaplan. We probably spoke 6 weeks ago, and I am recording this on May 14th, about to be May 15th. So put it in that context. This is from what feels like forever ago, and you're going to get to hear us speak of various things. Mike is a neat person. He is trained as a linguist and probably other stuff. He's super smart, and he has a new comedy album out, and I will put the link to that in the show notes. But for now, enjoy our little chat, and I will talk to you at the end of the interview. Hey, everybody. I am here long distancing with my friend Mike Kaplan, who is a comedian who I believe has an album coming out soon. Is that correct, young man?
Sarah, I'm an old man, but everything else you said is correct. It's pretty exciting that I recorded an album last year, back when outside was a place and people could meet and commune with live entertainment. Recorded that, and it's going to be available for pre-order April 17th, and order. Pre-order is, I guess, chaos. It's available for chaos April 17th and available for order May 8th, which I'm very excited about. I'm excited to have something to look forward to and talk about and be, you know, glad that I made when I could. And I'm very happy with it. So thank you for asking.
I'm really glad that you did that. Where, by the way, this is something we often do at the end of a podcast, but I'm going to ask in the beginning and the end, where can people find you on these internets so that they can enjoy your humor during these times?
Oh, sure. Well, you've already found me right here, right now. So keep doing that as long as I'm talking and you're listening. And then after, I'm available at all the Mike Kaplan places. Example, it's MYQKAPLAN at that, in any of the places that are socially mediaized. And I also do have a podcast that is called Broccoli and Ice Cream that I'll be excited to have you on, Sarah. If you find yourself with any free time in the coming days, weeks, months, or eternities.
Oh, I have a fuck ton of free time. Even though, oddly enough, I've been busier than usual during this time, because I've got a full-time day job, which has always been from home, and I'm very grateful for that, and like knocking on wood constantly that I get to keep it. And then I've got freelance work, and then I've got this podcast that I started, which is daily Monday through Friday. So I feel really fortunate in that I've been able to continue connecting with other people. I'm in quarantine by myself, except for my cat, Polly, who I just adopted. So are you in quarantine with anybody else, or are you just with yourself?
I am myself, and I'm also here with my wonderful girlfriend, who is herself, and together we make ourselves, or our mutual self, both. I think we're individuals and a unit. We've been living together for the past several years, and those several years all took place in the past 2 days. And also before that, I remember a time before a few days ago. We've been living together for a few years, and we've been together since in some form or another since 2016. Back back when. Do you remember time? Yeah.
Sort of. I sort of remember time. I sort of remember 2016 was a rough one.
Oh, yeah.
I still, on a personal note, on a personal and professional note, selfishly, if I had to pick now or 2016, I would pick now. Mm, but in the interest of the wider world and in the interest of the health and well-being of the wider world, I would pick 2016.
I mean, number one, I hear you. I agree with you. I'll also just present, it depends on if we could go back to 2016, knowing what we know now, then I think that would be potentially better for the world. If we were to go back not knowing and then got to slash had to live it all the way through. I mean, it's, there's this, this quote I like, from Niels Bohr. He's like, the opposite of a small truth is a lie, but the opposite of a great truth is often another great truth, or maybe he uses the word profound truth. And so there's sometimes, you know, things and their opposites that are true simultaneously. And so like the last 4 years have been one thing globally, and the current space is one thing globally, and also personally, interpersonally, romantically, you know, spiritually, emotionally, for me, I have been engaging in, you know, the best relationship of my life. And so I'm very grateful for all of the positives about now and the past 4 years, and even more, all the things. I'm grateful for all the things that have been very fortunate and wonderful for me, and real sorry that if those things don't help you.
What are some things you've been doing to stay calm and to relax and take care of yourself these days?
A fine question. You know, I've been, my life, quote unquote, normally involves like some chunks of time at home and some chunks of time traveling to do stand-up comedy. And so now this is just like a real long, stretched out chunk. Like, you know, some days I might not have a show at night, and now that okay, well, that's today. Okay. It's so each day by itself, like I'm like, this is, I've done this, I can do this. And so I start the day waking up as usually. There's no specific reason to use an alarm for me, as I do not have a specific job that I work from home that requires a, you know, a start time, a punch in, a login. So I wake, I usually read something by Pema Chodron or another Buddhist teacher or writer, perhaps a Thich Nhat Hanh.
I just interviewed Sharon Salzberg. Mm. She's going to be on the podcast.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. Those Buddhist teachers who are able to effectively convey these sort of eternal and ancient truths and teachings to a Western audience are so, so, so helpful at this time and at all times, really.
For sure. I've been reading books by Pema, for example, for like the past at least two-ish years. And so it's been helpful in non-pandemic times and in pandemic times. And then I will, after reading a little bit, will meditate for 10 or 20 minutes, usually. And then I will do some like morning page writing. I use the website 750words.com. I like the interface, but it's just sometimes I'll write an email to my girlfriend. Sometimes I'll, you know, write for myself, sometimes to another friend. I recently wrote one to my mom, because sort of simultaneous to all that everyone is experiencing, my grandmother passed away last week. And
oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, Bubby, that sucks. I'm so sorry.
I thank you very much.
Can you guys, I just interviewed psychotherapist and author Lori Gottlieb, and her father passed away last week, and they can't sit Shiva and they can't have a funeral. And I've talked to a few people about that. And I think it's really awful that that should happen at this time. Even if your grandma led a full and beautiful life and all of those things, like, it seems like a particular challenge right now.
For sure. I will. I did go and meet my mom at the funeral home where my grandmother was. And so we stood far apart from each other and far apart from the few other people that we, you know, saw there. And we had a very small, you know, what could be called a service for her, where we just sort of talked about her, shared a little bit, cried a little, talked about how my grandmother herself, an atheist, was like, I have like an idea for jokes and like cartoons that I might create and put into the world, where it's like, me, like, just a sort of a one panel comic of me thinking like, my grandmother, it feels like she's still here with us, and then like a picture of her ghost next to me that's like, I am not.
I love that.
And so my mom said exactly what you expressed, that perhaps your guest expressed, that my mom was like, it would be nice to be able to have a Shiva, to be able to have a gathering, a, you know, communal thing. And I said to my mom, well, you know, the same way that sometimes people get married, like at City Hall, and then months later, whenever it's, you know, convenient for everyone, maybe they'll have a big celebration then, even though they officially got married. So I'm like, my grandmother, she's officially dead, but it's like, maybe we'll have a big party celebrating it all in the future. And my mom was like, I don't even think she would want that. I'm like, well, she's not even going to be there, so it's for us. And like, she's not invited. She, by her own.
It's for, because that's always for the family. You know, I've thought about my own funeral, and in making a will, which I need to finish making my will, I started doing that long before this, and I always just forget about it because I'm like, eh. But one thing I've thought about is like, okay, what do I want my funeral to be like? And then I'm like, who cares? Like, honestly, I mean, it's cool if you want to plan it. I like party planning, but I mean, other than it's written into my will, which I still have to finish and get executed. Ha ha. But that my brother is the only one who's allowed to go through my stuff. Hmm. Like, my mom and dad aren't allowed to go through my stuff. Should I pass before them? Because, you know, first of all, it'll be hilarious if my brother has to find my vibrators. Like, I just think that's funny. That would be a great prank. And second of all, I trust his judgment in terms of what is a photo that I would want to be displayed at a funeral event versus what I would not want to be displayed. I'm just thinking strategically here.
Yes, I like that. I have a few thoughts. Number one, at some point, I think it could be funny if you got an even larger selection of even larger toys and put them in a box and just, you know, just never, and be like, only for my brother to open, you know, just so that... And that would actually also, I mean, he would probably find it funny and might also give him some like plausible deniability, be like, maybe none of these were actually even ones that were hers, that she, this is just a funny joke. And, you know, you could give him that gift if you want, or you could write out explicitly everything because you're like, no, these are definitely, at least one of these is real. So I offer that. I think this, I never thought about this before, but you know how sometimes, like, if you're in a relationship or even with friends, you're trying to decide where to eat, like, one of you might care more than the other. Be like, well, I, you know, just you pick, whatever. I was like, oh, why don't you pick? Or, so you have to determine, like, who, you know, who cares more and who, or who cares more about not wanting to make the decision. And I wonder if, like, having a will can be helpful like that. You could have, like, one version of the will that's like, just do whatever you want. You know, like, it's for you. Have a ball, you know, like, have a sad ball. And and then, but if you know that you could have an alternate version where you're like, or if that doesn't do it for you, if you're like, but I want to do what you want me to do. What, you're the one, it's your funeral. And say, okay, well then flip over and be like, then get Thai food, you know.
I definitely want there to be food.
Yeah.
I know that I do. I do want to kind of engineer it. Like, who gives a fuck? But at the same time, I do want there to be really good food. That's important to me. Like, I need several trays of lasagna, assuming there's multiple people there. That needs to happen.
It makes sense. Several trays of lasagna for multiple people or one Garfield. And... I do want to say also a nice thing, you know, a sort of a silver lining of this time is that I have been in touch with my mom more than I ever have been, and I've wanted to be, and I want, like, I've been talking to her on the phone most every day, and now emailing and texting more than we normally have, and she also just joined Facebook in part because my grandmother was on Facebook and my mom never was, and so my grandmother was like this character that so many people knew, whether they knew her or not. Like, some of my fans and my friends were like fans of her and her online presence, and so when I posted that she had died, like, there were so many people, like hundreds of people commenting and saying such nice things, like people who knew her, people who didn't know her, people with stories, people from our family, people, you know, like from out of the woodwork, from long ago. And my mom, I was like, Mom, do you want to see these things? And so she joined, she made an account. And so now she's like taking on like so many, she's sending me like email forwards, like of jokes, like that my grandmother used to, like, I feel like she's taking on some of the characteristics that my grandmother used to have. And she was like, the reason I brought it up is because my mom earlier today said that it feels like being on Facebook and communing with these people who she used to know and now knows again and knew her mother, my grandmother, it is like a virtual Shiva.
It's like people are doing Shiva calls. Yes. Like Lori said that sometimes they do Zoom for basically a Shiva call. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes a virtual Shiva, and it becomes the kind of thing where your mom is probably getting to talk to more well-wishers and mourners than she would in person. And she doesn't have to cook or deal with them cooking and bringing over something that's garbage. Like, you know, like, this is important.
It's true. In fact, she told me that I don't remember who it is, and that's good. But she said there's so many people have been offering, you know, outpourings of kindness and well-wishing. And she was like, one person, maybe even a little, she's calling too much. And I said, Mom, I want to offer you that you don't have to answer the phone every time that person calls. And my mom's like, I know, but I was like, no, like, for real, like, you can, but... she's like, thank you for giving me that gift.
Sometimes we need permission slips. I find that especially when you feel that you need to be available to everyone, even in the midst of your own grief, to make them feel better. That's very common. And so sometimes we really do need permission slips from people who say, hey, I know you don't need this, but I am giving you a permission slip to not be upbeat today, or to not smile today if you don't feel like it. I have really benefited from that. And sometimes I'll do that for a friend, and usually they just think it's funny, but sometimes they really appreciate that.
For sure. I also feel like I have some of the same characteristics in me that are in my mom. Like, you know, if a person is calling, I want to talk to them. Like, you want to talk to me? I want to talk to you. But especially, yeah, I mean, I think all the time, but also especially in a time of grief, and or like whether it's this, you know, the personal grief in our family or the kind of, you know, global grief-like experience that we're all having, whether it's about, you know, actual loss of people that we know, loss of mobility, loss of, you know, emotional or physical closeness, at least, you know, loss of certainty about our own potential health in the future, our own, like, economic well-being, our own, you know, political, like, all the various well-beings that this time more than ever, like, it's always true that, you know, it's reasonable and good and important to, you know, take care of yourself and your own needs, and not, you know, you can sacrifice yourself for the well-being of others. And also you can do your best to care for everyone, and everyone includes yourself.
Well, Mike, you are somebody who always checks in a very wonderful way. There are very few friends in my life who I can say that of, who will just randomly check in and say, hey, how you doing? Or just wanted you to know. And you'll do that for your group of friends too. You'll very politely BCC friends and just say, hi, I'm just thinking of you guys, and I want you to know I'm thinking of you. It's very special, and it's whether I respond or not, it's always appreciated, and it's a really nice behavior to, and I don't think you're doing it to model it for other people, but when we do things like that, I do think that other people take notice and that it's meaningful. And so I wonder if you, you know, I wonder if you get some of that from your mom, and also I wonder if some of your sense of humor comes from your grandma.
The latter, for sure. Like, I think that my grandmother was funny in a way that, like, it couldn't even be, you know how sometimes, yeah, I mean, you have friends who are not comedians who are like, mm-hmm. I could never do comedy, but they are so funny, and the only thing that's stopping them from being a great comedian is that they are not trying it. That
100%. Like, they either aren't trying it because they're scared to, or they aren't trying it because they don't want to, because it genuinely doesn't appeal to them. They're just like, oh, I could never do comedy. That's so hard. And it like, the idea of being on stage, understandably, is like, yuck, I don't think so. But they're so funny.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't think this is a paraphrase, a caricature of a conversation that I could have. Here's my grandmother. Here's my impression. Like, oh, I could never do comedy because I am too busy being a nurse for 40 years. And that's important. I could never do something as minimal. She wouldn't have said that or thought that. She was very proud of me and happy that I was living the life that I was living, as long as I was doing something that made money, because she grew up in the Depression when I feel like that probably imprinted on her pretty early on that, you know, money equals food equals rent equals life equals, you know, survival and taking care of yourself. But yeah, the point is she for sure was like a naturally hilarious person. So I have many jokes that or like posts that I put on social media where I'm just like, this is what my grandmother said. I don't have to add anything. And it's, you know, some of them funnier than many professional comedians, self included. And I do think that I think my mom's her desire to and capacity to be social is something that I have gleaned as well. Like my mom, my parents divorced when I was a teenager, and then from, you know, for the past 20 to 25 years, my mom has been, she was married again for some years, but in the, you know, couple decades where she wasn't, she's a person who has gone on lots of dates. She has had lots of boyfriends, lots of one-time things. Like, she puts herself out there. She is a social being. She is a, you know, a communal, community-minded being. She joins things. She is a, you know, a connector. And so I do feel that until you asked, I hadn't really specifically thought about the connection between my mom's being a connector and the ways that I endeavor to connect with people. And maybe some of them are the same and some of them are different. But for sure, like, I actually don't even remember when I started. I guess I could go back through my emails, but I do remember, like, some years ago, I sent out a text, you know, to a friend, to a number of friends. Like, sometimes I'll do it if I'm at the airport waiting to get on the plane or waiting to take off, or if I'm at the movies and the previews are on, and I'm just like, oh, like, what friends haven't I talked to in a while? And I'll scroll through my phone and be like, oh, it'd be nice to, I haven't heard from this person, I haven't reached out to this person. And just, like, when I have the time, and I can often have the time, like, I like to send people, you know, messages such as these. And I remember one time I sent one years ago and a friend wrote back and he was like, is everything okay? And I was like, oh yeah. He's like, oh, it just seemed like this is the kind of message that I might get from somebody who had just received like a diagnosis, you know, a concerning thing. Mm. Like you're getting your affairs in order at the end. You want to like touch base with people that you care about. And I was like, I'm grateful and glad to be able to let you know that that's not the case, and that it is simply that I do want to be in touch with the people that I care about and care for. And that it started like before I had really experienced, you know, I mean, there's people who have experienced tragedies of so many like qualities and quantities beyond anything that I have experienced. And of course, we all have our own lives, which have a range of, you know, the emotional spectrum is covered. But I now, you know, having lost my grandmother, having, you know, had more experience, you know, I've had more experiences myself as a person in my 40s now than I ever did when I was a person in my 20s. I've had probably even more than twice as much life experience in in that amount of time. And even and beyond my own experience, like certainly it was as an adult that I learned how many different people were having like wholly different experiences from me from childhood in their adulthood, you know, based on like who they are and how they've lived. And so I'm now just, you know, very grateful for all that I have, all that I have had, all the people who are in my life alive and not. That, you know, that I'm able, especially the people that I'm able to be in touch with, that I want to be, that I can be, and who also want to be in touch with me. It's like a, you know, it's a beautiful experience. It's a, one of the positives of life is the people that you like you.
Oh, human connection. I was talking to Chuck Wendig, who's also going to be on the podcast. And he said that he doesn't want to characterize this coronavirus as positive in any way, because it's not. But the part about the social distancing and quarantining that is positive is people being more likely to wave to one another. He's noticed out in the countryside where he lives, people being more likely to say hello to their neighbors from far away, you know, on the driveway. And he and I both love Twitter, even though we know it can also be a very terrible place. So sometimes it's awful and we worry about people and ourselves and blah, 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 blah. But we, I think, have both noticed people being more inclined to engage with each other in a kind checking in way. And that's been really special. And so, you know, it's wonderful to be your friend in regular times and to be your friend in the now times. And I'm very grateful to you for doing the podcast. And of course, it would bring me great joy if you would tell the people again where they can find you on the internet.
Of course, I'm grateful to you, Sarah, for your friendship and for this opportunity to communicate with you and with everyone who's listening. And for anyone who wants more communicate options, more listening options, at Mike Kaplan, MykKaplan, all of the places. My podcast is Broccoli and Ice Cream. At least a new episode comes out every week, plus a bonus one on Patreon, where I speak to the people, my guests, my friends, other artists about the works of their life and the joys of their life. And I do have a special on Amazon that people can watch if that's a thing that you have and want to. It's called Small, Dork, and Handsome. I have a number of other albums, including an upcoming one called AKA that will be out on May 8th and available for pre-order April 17th, 2020. So I thank you so much for the opportunity to share all of that and this and these and those.
Thank you, Mike. I will talk to you soon.
I hope so.
And that was my chat with Mike Kaplan. Check out the show notes for a link to his new album. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for hanging out with me. You can support the podcast by going to patreon.com/sarahbenincasa and signing up for a little monthly subscription situation for as little as $1 a month. And/or go shopping for some ethically made, sustainably made items. Matryoshka.com/code/Sarah. Again, that's matryoshka.com/code/SARA for some sweet, sweet discount action on Matryoshka clothing, which is an 18-year-old brand
made by women right here in Los Angeles, California. And you get 20% off plus free shipping if you use offer code SARA at checkout, or just go to matryoshka.com/code/SARA. All right, let's take a deep breath together. Get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, awesome. Here we go. Inhale. And exhale. One more time. Inhale through your nose. And exhale through your mouth. I really recommend checking out Headspace or the Calm app or anything by Sharon Salzberg, Jon Kabat-Zinn. Audiobooks, audiobook versions of the writings of Thich Nhat Hanh. So many great resources out there. So many more teachers than the ones I just spoke of. But they are all very accessible, very interesting. And if you're looking for some help to get into meditation or just to learn some more methods for relaxation, check them out. Thank you so much for being here. Let's do one more deep breath together. Let's relax just a little bit. I worked all day today. I'm very lucky to do that. That's not a brag. That is just an acknowledgement of what I did today. And then I ate a fuckload of donuts, which is not a healthy coping mechanism. But there you go. That's a thing that I did that I'm telling you about. If you feel weird because of your eating habits lately, if you feel weird because of your dreams, night terrors, I hope you don't experience them. I know some people do, especially when they're under stress. If you're feeling on edge, angrier than usual, craving strange foods, uncomfortable in your own skin, it's okay. Feelings are not facts. This too shall pass. We are all going through something really fucking weird. But if our grandparents or great-grandparents got through the Depression, we will get through this. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I do know that you are resilient, that you are a survivor, and that you may have come into this with a toolkit of coping skills, or this may be an incredibly rich time and inflection point in your own life for learning new coping skills. So, one more deep breath. Take good care of yourself. Be gentle with yourself today. Say hi to me at Sarah J. Benincasa on Twitter or Instagram, or say hi to the show at Well This Isn't Normal on Instagram. And, you know, take it easy. I'm thinking of you, and I'm very grateful you're here. Bye-bye.